Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke. Today's show is one I'm especially excited about because it's a place, it's an experience I've been wanting to have. It's at the top of my travel bucket list. It is a gorilla trek, and so I have gone to get one of the best people I think that can help me talk about this experience. My guest today is Maura Smith. She is the manager of the Africa Department of Go Away Travel. She's been with them for 7 years, and she's from South Africa. She's traveled extensively through Africa, and she just got back recently from a gorilla trek. So we're going to get lots of good information, I think, today. So I just want to thank you for joining us, Maura.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start out here talking about this adventure takes place in the Burundi Impenetrable Forest, which I know is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And so it's quite spectacular, and there's a lot of wildlife besides the gorilla. Am I correct about this?
You are. In fact, there's another area as well. There are three main areas that you can see the mountain gorillas. Of course, the Democratic Republic of Congo is not an option at the moment. So your two options are either in Uganda, which is the Burundi Impenetrable Forest, or in Rwanda, which is both very different experiences in the sense of the terrain and the way to get there, but equally special in terms of the experience in interacting with the gorillas.
Okay. Now, what I know the gorillas are the main show, of course, but I understand there's a lot of other species in this area. So what might participants expect to see besides gorillas?
Well, you know, Uganda is one of the best places in the world for primates. So you'll see any amount of different types of primates. Uganda is also considered one of the best places in Africa to see birds. In fact, there are more than 1,000 species of recorded bird species in Uganda. So if you are a bird watcher, it's an absolute paradise. You know, and then also if you, a lot of people will do the gorillas as an extension onto Kenya or Tanzania. But honestly, there's so much to do in Uganda. It'd be quite easy to do a 7-day or 10-day trip on its own, in which case you would then extend and do things like the Queen Elizabeth National Park, where you'll see the tree climbing lions. So there's great options in addition to the gorilla experience. Another fantastic combination, if you're doing the gorillas and Burundi, is to go to Kibali, which is where you'll find the largest concentration of primates of any forest in East Africa. And then you'll also find the very shy but African forest elephant that you very rarely see. But if you did want to see, that would be the place.
Okay. Now, I understand that there are 200 species of butterflies in Burundi.
That is quite correct. It's like the Garden of Eden. It's just so rich in wildlife and in all types of fauna and flora.
Wow, okay. But now I know the gorillas are the main show now, and they are endangered. And I think, now do you tell me if I'm right about this, there's about 800 or 900 of them remaining in the wild?
That's true. At best guess, in the region of about 800. So if you put that into perspective, it's like one mountain gorilla to every 8 million people. I mean, it's just you're amongst such a small group of people who's actually had the opportunity to spend time with these gentle giants. It's a true privilege.
Yeah, I agree. And so let's talk about, because I know that Go Away offers three different options. You have a 4-day, a 6-day, or a 10-day trip. Now, obviously, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience you're going to have, so you want to get the most out of it, even if you're going mainly for the gorillas here. There are so many other things, as you pointed out, to do. So do you recommend that people, I guess the 4-day or the 6-day would be if they're doing an extension onto Kenya or something, but do you recommend they just go over and do the 10-day and just devote to the Uganda experience? What are your thoughts?
You know, I think it depends. East Africa has got so many wonderful different options. So if it's your first time to East Africa and perhaps one of your focuses is that you really would love to see the Great Migration, you could very easily combine a Kenya, Tanzania with, say, a three-night stopover in Rwanda or Uganda where you can actually do the gorillas after. And what I would highly recommend is, you know, typically in any of the packages that we offer, we will always include a gorilla permit, but there are opportunities to do a second gorilla trek, and that is something that if you really are able to, highly recommend it. Now, I just want to mention that the cost of the gorilla permits is pretty expensive. You're looking at $750 in Rwanda and $600 in Uganda, and because if you consider that there are only literally 10 families in each area that are habituated, and they will allow only a maximum of 8 people at any one time, these permits go very, very quickly. So when you know that you're traveling, book early. And the beautiful thing about the permits, even though they are expensive, they go directly back into the preservation of the gorilla's environment and into the upkeep and into research. And so it really is something that is vital for the continual, survival of the gorillas.
Right. Yeah. So that's, maybe you could speak about that a little bit more here, exactly what this gorilla permit means here, because there are some restrictions. There's a limit to the time that you can spend with the gorillas, and if you might have a communicable disease, there might be. So maybe you could just tell people how this works.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned the communicable disease. I think the four biggest issues facing mountain gorillas today is obviously loss of habitat, poaching, of course, snares, that type of thing. But a very important one is the communicable diseases, because if you think that we share something like 98% of our DNA with the gorillas, the reality is that if you have flu or any kind of disease, or even just a sort of a small sniffle, it can be sort of extended to the gorillas, and they, of course, don't have the same kind of immune system that we do. So if you are in any way ill or have anything that they deem as dangerous to the gorillas, you will not be allowed to trek. So I think that's very, very important. In terms of the experience and the time that you spend with them, they're very strict in terms of you will spend an hour with the gorillas. And what happens is typically you'll meet early in the morning, and they'll assess your fitness, because in a place like Bwindi, some of the trekking is very, very steep. In fact, it is very steep, and the forest is very thick. The difference in Rwanda is that you're trekking through bamboo forests, and so it's a flatter terrain and possibly a slightly easier walk. And what happens is the night before, the actual guides trek with the gorillas and see where they nest for the night, so they have a pretty strong idea of where they're going to start in the morning. So when you meet for your briefing, and it's a very comprehensive briefing, and you all get given walking sticks, and you're able to take a porter who can take your backpack from you, and he'll help you in terms of over difficult terrain. And then what happens is, as I said, they'll assess your physical fitness. And typically, if you're not that fit or you look like you're out of shape, they'll put you to a group where it's a closer trek, so to speak. But just to bear in mind that you can trek for up to 4 to 6 hours to see the gorillas. And once you then get in close proximity to them, you will then have an hour to spend with them. Part of the briefing is they tell you that they want you to stay at least 7 meters away from the gorillas, but of course the gorillas don't have a concept of distance, and in many times you will find that the gorillas will come very closely to you, and they're curious. They are habituated, and certainly the young ones are often very quick to sort of come up and almost play or touch, and it's just the most unbelievable experience. And your hour just flies through, but it is a maximum of hour because they don't want to put stress on the gorillas. But really, if I can tell you one thing, Terence, it's a lifetime experience.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When we were in Antarctica, it was the same thing. You could not go up, approach any of the wildlife. But like, if you sat down, we just sat down on the beach there, and the penguins would just come right up and just, like, walk
right
over us and investigate us and do all this stuff. And so you couldn't touch them, but they, you know, they were curious, and they'd come up to you and all. And so I imagine it's the same kind of thing, that if you wait, they might get a little bit closer to you and all. And just, I mean, how often could anybody ever have an experience like that?
You know, it's true, and I must tell you of what one of the things that happened to us. We were watching this teenager and his young brother literally roughhousing as if they were two young boys wrestling. And next minute, the bigger one obviously hurt the little one, and he squealed. And from behind us, we hadn't even seen the mother, but she came rushing past us and literally cuffed these two, and they ran off through the trees. And it was like watching youngsters play and corrals.
I can imagine. You know, I saw a video on YouTube a while back that showed a gorilla family that came into a camp, and the participants got a chance to get really up close with them because the gorillas, especially the babies, were very curious, and they have footage of them climbing onto one of the campers, and they would play and sniff and investigate and all, and then after a while, the family just moved on. And it didn't
That's
seem
exactly
like the people
right.
were in any kind of Yeah, they didn't seem like they were any kind of danger, but they had been instructed. They didn't move or talk or do anything to antagonize Mama and Papa. But I'm thinking that must have been the most amazing experience for those people.
Oh,
and, you know,
for sure.
It was like a bonus there because, I mean, that wasn't part of their permit time. This was just coming into their camp. So I'm just wondering, is there a chance that they might have some kind of gorilla interaction outside of that permit time? You know.
Definitely. In fact, that camp that you're talking about is called Gorilla Forest Camp, and it's one of two that is actually located in the Bwindi Impenetrable National Park. It's in actual fact our stay of distinction, and that's the thing, because it's in the park and it's all natural habitat. The gorillas are free to come in, and it's typical at least once a week you'll see gorillas in amongst the grounds.
Wow. Well, tell us then. That's a good bit, because I know this is this is a real privilege to be able to stay inside the park in this camp. So what is this camp like? Obviously a tenant camp, I'm assuming.
It is. It's what's fantastic about it is that it's actually built into the side of the mountain. So all of the rooms, for want of a better word, have views over the canopy of the forest. And because you're right there, your trek literally starts maybe 200 meters from where the camp is. So it's a fantastic place to stay. But you know what is fantastic is that there are a number of different types of accommodation, from moderate accommodations through to really sort of deluxe accommodations. So depending on your budget, there's certainly an option for pretty much everybody.
Wow, yeah. Okay, well let's talk about this. While you're out on the trek, is there any kind of danger of a gorilla attack? Let's put people's minds at ease, maybe.
No, you know, really not. I mean, there are some, the families that you're trekking to see are all habituated to people, but there are a number of other wild gorillas that are living in the park, but you never see them. They really don't want to have any interaction with people. So, no, there's definitely, the danger is getting dehydrated if you're trekking for a long time and making sure that you've got proper shoes and that you're reasonably fit. Definitely think it's worth, before you're traveling, getting into shape, because, as I mentioned earlier, you don't know how long you're going to be trekking for. Now, we were incredibly lucky in both Rwanda and in Uganda. We really didn't trek for more than sort of 40 minutes each time. So it was a gift, because we then, you know, then you can get back to your lodge, and there's a lot of other optional things to do. For example, in Rwanda, you can hike to go to Diane Fossey's grave. You can spend some time with some of the local cultural people. So there's lots of other options to do. But again, it just depends on how long your trek is.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's describe a typical day, because like you said, this was not typical for you within 30 or 40 minutes to come across the gorilla. So what can people expect? Because you're talking about walking sticks and up to 6 hours of trekking. Maybe they need to be getting on a Stairmaster to be getting used to some climbing, or
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth getting fit, because I'd say probably on average you're trekking for about 3 hours. That would be a typical trek. But
okay.
As I say, there really is, it could be as little as 20 minutes, and it could be, say, as much as 5 hours. But so what you can expect is that, as I say, you get there early in the morning. At that point, highly recommend that you take a porter. And the reason I say that, not only because it definitely makes your trek easier, they'll take your backpack, they'll hold all your heavy stuff, but it also gives employment to the locals. And certainly when we were climbing through or climbing up a fairly steep hill, they are there to assist you, and that really makes a difference. So then you'll be following these. Each of you will be allocated, well, you'll have your porter, but there'll be a lead guide, and there'll be a couple of other trackers with you. And when you get into the area where the gorillas are, your porters then literally take everything off you except for your cameras, and you follow the lead guide. And he gives you a very clear indication of the sort of kind of signs that he's going to show you to move, or where to go and how to do it. And honestly, Terence, you literally just sit there and to be 2 or 3 meters from these fantastic creatures, and they are completely, in one sense, oblivious. They live their life normally, but as I mentioned earlier, you'll often find that typically the youngsters will come up to you, and they're curious, and they want to be interacting with you. And then after your hour, as I said, it's very strict in terms of the timing. You'll go down the mountain and then have a fabulous ice-cold Ugandan beer to celebrate.
Well, sign me up.
No, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like such a surreal experience. And, you know, if you love adventure travel and wildlife, it would just be the best of all possible experiences, I would think. But I did want to talk a bit more about some of the practical aspects. You do need some inoculations or some things for this trip, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, you would need a yellow fever and malaria.
Yes,
correct,
definitely. Both are recommended, and you would need to discuss that with the travel doctor closest to you, because they are completely up on all of the latest requirements before you travel.
Now, I mean, do you need a yellow fever certificate to get into the country, or
that's no, you need a yellow fever certificate if you're going into Tanzania. So often you're going to be combining, say, a gorilla experience with Tanzania. So it is recommended. It's not a requirement for Uganda or Rwanda, but it is for Tanzania.
Okay. And what about the malaria?
So malaria, again, it's recommended, because in both Uganda and Rwanda, you're going to go through malaria areas. So again, it's up to your depending on what you choose, but certainly malaria precautions are recommended.
Okay. Well, when we're talking about health, let's go ahead and address something that's probably on everybody's mind when you mention the word Africa, and that's Ebola. I just got back. I was a month in Africa, and there was absolutely no talk of it. There was no problem. There was no concern, because this is in such a small area, and so that maybe you can kind of reassure everyone if they're thinking about it, but they're kind of nervous. Maybe you could just address this for us.
Terence, thanks so much for bringing it up, because it's been a really big issue, I think, because the media has, by and large, portrayed Africa as basically a country, but it's a huge continent with 54 different countries. And if you consider the distance between, say, Nairobi or Entebbe and West Africa, where it's located, is thousands of kilometers away. So there have been absolutely no cases of Ebola in Eastern or Southern Africa. If you consider that it is not an airborne disease, in order to contract Ebola, you have to have been in contact with bodily fluids of a victim. There really is no risk whatsoever. In fact, our suppliers are so completely confident that they are saying that if in any of the areas that we're selling there is an outbreak of Ebola, you will get full 100% refund at whatever point it is before you travel. So there really is I'm so glad you addressed it, because there's a lot of people have put off going to Africa because of the fear of contracting Ebola. But honestly, there's never been a better time, and in fact, because the crowds are staying away in droves, it's a fabulous time to go.
Yeah, it was great when we were over there, because you could go into Kruger, you could do all kinds of things, you know, and it was like, where are all the people that are normally, you know, here? So it was like you had like private safaris and this, you know, intimate experiences, and you could just, you know, got really pampered by everyone in all, because they didn't have as many people. Yeah, so, and I know here the media has played it up, and there has been some issues, but people do have to remember that a lot of these, the few cases that have been mentioned are healthcare workers, and that's what you're talking
exactly.
about. They have come into close contact. So, yeah. And actually, that's funny, because I know there's a greater risk of the gorillas getting something from us.
Exactly.
Than from,
yes, you're quite right.
Yeah. And so I think, and I want to mention, too, I think that this value, the price for these treks, I've studied the different pricings because I've been wanting to go for a couple of years now and all, and I think that you have some really good prices when you consider that it includes pretty much everything but your airfare. So I think that people, they can go, yeah, they can go and look on your site. I'll give the information before the show closes, and they can see the price according to the different trips, and then they can see the options for things they might want to add on there. But I know one of the things that you have in here that I was a little confused about was you talked about what's included in the cost was liability insurance, but that's not the same as travel insurance. So can you explain the difference here?
Certainly. It just means as if you're in any kind of situation where, say, it's a third-party incident or something that impacts on you while you're away, you're covered for any costs that might arise from it. But you will find that in a lot of our packages, we actually do include flying doctor insurance. And what that does is that will, in fact, if there is a medical issue, we will airlift you to the closest main hospital town.
At no additional cost, because you're saying that's included.
Exactly.
Okay, right. Okay, now before we run out of time, I want to talk about the best time to go, because obviously your trip departure dates are timed when it's the best time to be there. But do you have a specific range that you think is the best time there within that time?
So I think rather to say when is perhaps not the best time to go. And when I say not the best time to go, if you consider that both Bundi and the volcanoes, which is on the Rwanda side, are rainforests, so it is a high rain area year round. But the times to avoid would be March and April, which is where the rains would be at a higher stage, and potentially November. That being said, at that time of the year, they actually do bring out, and the only time of the year where they will actually put permits out at half price. Now, we were there in March, and honestly, the weather was fantastic. It's beautiful, but the reality is if it is raining, you're going to be trekking in the rain. So my advice would be perhaps avoid March, April, and November.
Okay,
but you know, as I say to everybody, there's no bad time to go to Africa. Go whenever you can.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, because you know that's one of my favorite destinations. I love, you know, and so if I could, I'd do a show that was just nothing but Africa. But
oh, glad to hear it.
I know. It's just such a wonderful experience. I just think people. It's just something if you talk about things on your bucket list and once-in-a-lifetime experiences and all that, Africa has so many of those, including this gorilla trek.
That's so true.
So we're almost out of time here today, and I want to make sure that you get a chance to tell us if there's anything else you'd like to share about this experience or something that we didn't cover during the course of this interview. Now's the time.
Thanks, Terrence. I think really I just want to reconfirm that there, Africa is safe. It's a wonderful time to go, and don't put it off.
Amen. I agree with that. This is definitely an Uber adventure. I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience here, and I hope that this has reassured some people that this is a wonderful experience, that's doable for you, and you can add it on to another trip. If you'd like to go on safari somewhere else, you could add it on to this, or you could just focus on their 10-day itinerary. But for more on this trip or any of the other great trips offered by Go Away Travel, you can check out their website, which is www.goaway.com. And you'll also find a link to them on my site, as well as hundreds of free travel reports and resources. You can check out more episodes of this show, and you can subscribe to my weekly blog, Terrence Talks Travel, or see my trip pick of the week. And that is on www.terrencetalkstravel.com. And that's it for this show, and I'd like to thank Maura again for sharing all this wonderful, wonderful information. And so just remember, I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel, Uber Adventures, so stay tuned.